This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:39 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So, up next, some ad campaigns were pulled down recently because they focused on female genitals, which is something that you would think you'd expect from a feminine hygiene company. That appears to make sense. But there were complaints that it was exploitative, it was offensive. So we're going to take a closer look.
So it all started, well, let's see, it didn't exactly start here, but the attention came to this issue when a feminine hygiene products brand, Libres Malaysia, they withdrew a few advertisement campaigns after the Majlis Wanita Islam Yadim, or MAYA, who condemned their focus of particular images that were being used in this campaign, as well as on packaging for their products. Now, MAYA is the women's arm of a government religious foundation. And what they basically had an issue with was that these two campaigns called V Kabaya and Know Your Kabaya essentially use motifs that were inspired by both the Nyonya Kabaya as well as essentially the female vulva. So essentially, if you've looked at the pictures, they use the vulva as an inspiration to draw images of flowers, and it's meant to bring attention to issues of reproductive health, of normalizing these conversations around it. And there was also another campaign called Know Your V, which is a part of Libres's long-running campaign to educate women on their genitals. It includes a tutorial on how to fold paper to resemble a vulva. Now, all of this has been criticized by MAYA to widely promote it as a motif on your sanitary pad packaging, a design on our national heritage of kabaya, in your V Kabaya campaign, and as an origami in your Know Your V campaign, is considered an exploitation of women's bodies in advertising. They also called it disrespectful to women.
So a few things here, right? I think in the first place, if you haven't seen the images, and you may not have, especially because they've been pulled down, they're quite lovely. I don't think that they were necessarily, they're not really explicit in any way or form. If when we talked about using it as a motif, that's literally what they are. They sort of appear as part of flowers. And if you're not looking too closely, really, you wouldn't even, you know, you would just be like, oh, that's a kabaya or that's a batik motif. So that aside, I think that for me at least, what stands out here is I think a problem that has long existed, which is a conflation between sexualization and sexual education. And I think that in something like this, in which you are talking about just a part of a body and a process that happens on a monthly basis, I think that the fact that something like that has then been conflated into exploitative and disrespectful speaks about the ways in which these concepts have become quite entangled and quite difficult to separate, because that at least is what stands out to me. I think that Libres is not alone in this marketplace of talking about and normalizing reproductive health and trying to create awareness, trying to normalize discussions around it. And this is just sort of a furthering of that. Otherwise, I didn't think that it was such a big deal fundamentally.
And that's exactly what people have responded with to all of this criticism, right? So because Libres has now pulled the advertisement, people have now come out to talk about why we should actually be allowing for these sorts of conversations to happen, and why using terms like unacceptable in our culture or talking about how these sorts of conversations are not compatible with how we speak about female health or female reproductive health is actually really counterproductive. It makes people feel ashamed of their bodies. It makes people feel ashamed of natural processes. And therefore, when there are issues with health, when there are problems, they don't talk about them.
They don't talk about them. It also makes them vulnerable to marketing that targets exactly these sorts of gaps in knowledge, exactly these sorts of issues, really. So anyway, we are talking about stigma really surrounding this issue of menstruation, surrounding this issue of sexual education, reproductive health education. And it all started in some ways, at least this most recent version of the conversation, started because a feminine hygiene products brand withdrew an ad after complaints were made that their use of the motif of the vulva and so on was considered exploitative and offensive. So we'd like to hear from you. What can we do to remove the stigma, which is what it is, surrounding menstruation and reproductive health? Any ideas are welcome. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And for more, we are now crossing over to Farah Rom, board member for the Reproductive Rights Advocacy Alliance Malaysia and founder of For Youth Initiative KL. Farah, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's an absolute honor to be here.
So let's talk about the statement in the first place that was issued by the Majlis Wanita Islam Yadim. What are your thoughts on this?
I think this is the result of years and years and years of censoring the most important organ for, you know, female reproductive system. And it shows how, you know, the education itself, this is the result why we shouldn't censor the most important, you know, menstruation organs in our body. And this shows the result of the years of, you know, having abstinence-based sex education in school and, you know, not being honest about conversation surrounding our reproductive system.
What role do campaigns like these play when it comes to menstruation education and awareness?
I think because I read through a lot of comments and, you know, personally working in a nonprofit organization that pushes sexual reproductive rights, you know, in Asia Pacific as well as in Malaysia, creative mediums are used in order to bring about the conversation of, you know, our reproductive health and reproductive system. And, you know, if you watch yourself the video of Libras, it's really, for me, like, it's really heartwarming because it showcases different, you know, different colors, people from different colors, different cultures. And it's a common thing that we have that we don't really talk about our reproductive system. We don't talk about our menstruation. We don't talk about, you know, having a different type of vulvas, you know, from person to person. So this actually, it's a brilliant, brilliant campaign that I feel brings about the discussion, although probably, you know, now we can say that it's a backlash, but for me, it's like a point of conversation that we can have, like, okay, if you see that you have a problem with the vulva in the kebaya motif, which is fantastic, it's so, so beautiful, why do you have a problem with that? If you equate that with pornography, do you know that what pornography is? We are just reclaiming our own bodies and our own reproductive system. And, you know, to educate people, we have different methods. You can use whatever methods, and Libres chooses a creative way in bringing about the conversation of our reproductive system. And it's just brilliant.
And so, having said that, then, when the campaigns receive, like you said, backlash, when they're pulled down, does that then create further stigmatization?
I think at one point, yes, but at the same time, you know, our young people also in social media are, you know, continuing the conversation, which we really appreciate. And it does, in terms of, because they are, how to say, they personally say that they are, you know, they are the Muslim woman, but there's a lot of Muslim women that doesn't resonate with their messaging, as of myself and as of the people, a lot of the people that I know. So it creates stigma in terms of probably the community that they are representing, because a lot of the times, actually, Muslim women or, you know, my own community, they are the ones that is like lack of, you know, knowledge about reproductive system, lack of about their own reproductive rights, whether you're married or whether you're not. So it creates further stigma for the people in the group. You see, but at the same time, like I mentioned, it's also, you know, it's up to us, it's up to, you know, the people in the nonprofit sector or, you know, the people as a whole to kind of stand up and say, like, you can say whatever you want, you can have your own opinion about different things, but if you don't agree with this, it doesn't show pornography. It is something that is beautiful, that, you know, if you see, even in reproductive classes, for example, they don't show this organs. They don't show our uterus, for example, because they mentioned about, you know, menstruation and uterus and things like that. And I personally have experience, you know, teaching sex education where even non-Muslim parents says that this is vulgar. When I say, how is it vulgar? It is a reproductive system. So we kind of need to have this difficult conversation to continuously advocate or, you know, bring awareness about sexual health. Yeah.
So on that note then, let's take a step back. Is there enough awareness when it comes to sexual sex education here in Malaysia?
I think this dialogue has been going on for years and years where, you know, if you ask the people from the government, they say that we have enough sex education in school. You can see the amount of information that we have in our textbooks. We have to agree partly on that. There's a lot of amazing things that is already included in the textbooks. But are we giving the space for the younger generations to educate themselves or to have this conversation with the teachers, or are they conversation happening in the household system and things like that? So I think there are some sort of sex education, but it is not comprehensive, absolutely not comprehensive enough.
So I'm curious to know, Farah, where did you personally gain access and knowledge on this?
So I think I am one of the privileged batch in my uni. Surprisingly, I'm from University Putra, Malaysia, and I was studying nutrition and community health at the time. And my amazing lecturers and my amazing lecturer named Dr. Mary Huang Suli, she is one of the board members of Federation of Reproductive Health Association Malaysia, where she teaches maternal health, maternal and child health in our course. So she kind of opened up the gateway of me learning a lot about reproductive health and questioning a lot of different things about family and, you know, relationships and things like that. So I'm privileged enough to have her as a lecturer and, you know, open my eyes and see that there are a problem and there are solutions to this problem that, you know, I can contribute to. So that's where, and I was 21. I'm already like, I feel like it's too late already, I feel. And if I were to know the information or knowledge that I know now, when I was 5 years old, there's a lot of things would, you know, go differently.
You mentioned earlier that it falls on NGOs to bridge that gap. I'm curious, what else do you think the government should do to help create awareness on sexual and reproductive health education?
I think there's a lot of the things that a lot of government agency is doing, but they're doing like things for the sake of doing it, you know. They don't really empower the trainers, for example, in LPPKN. They don't really empower saying that you need to give accurate information, whether or not, you know, the information clashes with your values and things like that. Because these conversations is really crucial. If you don't allow the conversation happening between, for example, trainers who go to school to teach sex education, if you don't allow that conversation to happen, there's a lot of hidden or secrecy surrounding sex education, especially on reproductive health or menstruation. Because for the past few years, when I teach sex education in schools or in different communities, we give off the vibe that, okay, you can say anything that you want. You can ask anything that you want. Don't be shy. And a lot of them come out with different questions regarding menstruation. And I feel like if they have this question, like even the simplest questions, it means that they don't have the people to talk to, especially those who are in school or primary school or high school, right? And also, if they can't ask about menstruation in school, what more about sex or sexual relationships or about relationships in general? If they ask their teachers, they would say like haram, or like, don't ask this, you're not allowed to, you're too young for this. But internet is there, you know. Now a lot of the children are accessing internet for studying, and there's a lot of different ways that people can, you know, exploit them in different ways. And it's our duty, and, you know, the adults' duties to take care of the children by giving the accurate information as early as possible.
Farah, we just have a minute left with you. Is there anything you'd like to leave us with?
I think although there is a bad consequences in terms of, you know, Libres taking away the ads, but at the same time, we need to continue this conversation and continuously bringing awareness about reproductive health in general so that we won't go back to, you know, too many censorships and a lot of our children are, you know, left hanging without the proper and comprehensive sexuality education.
Farah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
That was Farah Rum, board member for the Reproductive Rights Advocacy Alliance Malaysia, as well as founder of the For Youth Initiative KL, talking to us about, well, more broadly, the importance of having awareness and education surrounding reproductive health, but also weighing in on the recent controversy with Libres Malaysia, a feminine hygiene products brand, withdrawing advertisements after complaints came in that did not appreciate the focus that the campaigns had on the vulva as a motif. We'd like to hear from you. What are your thoughts and what can we do to normalize conversations around menstruation and reproductive health? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Be free minded. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:56 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We are back now to look at some of the messages that we've been getting on our most recent story, which focused on an ad campaign that was pulled down from a feminine hygiene products brand recently. And that came after complaints that argued that the vulva motif that they used in the campaign about V Kabaya and Know Your V was regarded as exploitative. And so we've been asking you about how best to really normalize conversations, remove the stigma around these issues. You can call us, WhatsApp us, tweet us. We have messages.
So Katrina says, as a woman, I don't feel exploited at all. It made me want to talk more about our reproductive organs. How can a body part that that gives birth to life be considered shameful or frowned upon when it shows up in public, especially when it's not done in a vulgar or sexual way? If this happened in some other countries, it would be praised as female empowerment. For example, there's an event in New York and Japan called Opai Exhibition. Opai is a nickname for the breasts in Japanese, and that illustrates how women are worried about breast cancer. We should be educating our future generations, not stopping them or worse, misleading them.
So this is, again, Katrina, I wholeheartedly agree. And I think it comes down to, what do you think education on this issue is? Is it education that is vulgar? Is it education that is sexualized? Or is it education that helps to remove stigma and also work for preventative health? Because that's exactly what we're talking about here, right? If you never pay attention to your body, you're not going to know when something is wrong, especially if you don't have, as we heard our guest Farah say earlier, somebody in your life that you can actually ask these questions to, because it's regarded as private, wholly private, and therefore never talk about it. I did love Katrina's phrase of show up in public because it's like, surprise. We also have this from Alexandria, who says, it's shocking, not just young girls not having this education. I've spoken to older women who are married and given birth who have no clue how their reproductive organs work. It's sad. It's unacceptable. Education for sexual health needs to occur on every level to protect women and their bodies.
I agree 100%, right? And the danger with not having enough information is not being able to know when something is wrong, not getting help early enough, not being able to even tell a doctor, or being embarrassed to tell a doctor when something feels wrong. All of these are so important.
And that comes with education. I really don't even understand why we're still having this conversation. And yet here we are. But yes, keep those thoughts coming. We are talking today about normalizing conversations around periods and reproductive health. This is coming as a company, Libres Malaysia, withdrew ad campaigns following on complaints that their use of the vulva motif was offensive or exploitative. We'd love to hear from you. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, just quickly, after the 6 o'clock news today on Inside Story, we're going to be talking about a story that's been brewing for a while, and that's essentially vaccine booster shots, a third shot for people who have been fully vaccinated, to, I guess, re-up, so to speak. So we'd like to hear from you. How do you feel about the booster shot being introduced in October? This is something that the health minister has brought up. You can call us. Again, you know the number, 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.